Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for having a church to come to focus on your word. We thank you for all that you do for us and affecting our spiritual growth. And we just pray that you would minister to those who've asked for prayer today and bless this message, that it would reach each and every one of us. We thank you. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. So, true faith. Pastor had a really exhaustive study on the concept of faith. And, with the times being what they are and all of the trials and tribulations that we're finding ourselves in, really there's no better topic to be on than the concept of true faith, not faith in general concepts, you know, that the tap water isn't going to make us sick, or that, you know, which it probably is, or that the food is safe to eat, which it's probably not. But, you know, the actual biblical definition of what true faith is. And throughout the Bible, the Old Testament and the New, one of the most recurring themes is faith. So important is faith that without it, one has no chance of salvation, no standing with God, no blessings, and no hope for the future. Only death, hell, and misery awaits us without faith. Faith is to be exercised by all Christians at all times, in all situations. In fact, faith is to be the continual mental and spiritual dynamic going on in each of us believers. Romans 14:23. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Now there are many applications of faith, many synonyms for faith, many various definitions for faith found in contemporary Christianity, but the best definition for faith is found in Acts 16:31. Where the Apostle Paul told the Philippian jailer, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved." Now here, this passage may read, "Believe in Jesus Christ, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved," depending on your translation. And that's just the various translators had a different focus on how to translate the Greek words there. But here, the actual Greek word is pistuo, but it has the Greek preposition epi. Oops. Now, prepositions give us kind of a direction or a position of what the verb is talking about. And in this case, epi is upon. Now that epi plus the accusative of the direct object being the Lord Jesus. So we are supposed to pistuo, which is to believe upon Jesus Christ. So this changes the nature of faith from a mere idea or mental assent to believing that one, and not just believing that one exists, but to the idea of actually putting one's trust in Jesus. Now, trust is the state of mind where one knows that he is helpless, can do nothing about his situation, and is now totally dependent upon someone else to help and to handle the situation. Think of a person that's in a burning building and they have broken arms and legs. They are helpless. They cannot remove themselves from the situation. They're reliant upon the firefighter to come save them and carry them to safety. They have to trust in the firefighter to do it. But there's another side to epi, plus the accusative, especially when faith is concerned, and that we have not, and that is that a total turning from that which one has had their confidence in and turning to the other, in this case Jesus Christ, and depending on him, to put that trust in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. There has to be a turning from and letting go of that other thing and turning to Christ alone, putting one's trust in him. To believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as one's Savior, the individual must turn from and let go of everything he was previously placing his trust in, his confidence, his faith, his security, and his dependence, and put all of that in Jesus Christ. When it comes to salvation, that act by whereby one is forgiven of his sins by God, justified, granted eternal life, and the resurrection, the individual becomes saved when he believes on Christ as his Savior. And we have seen here it entails two things: a turning from one thing and a turning to another. In this case, Christ in total trust. And this means that the unbeliever must turn from, let go, turn his back on everything which he has previously placed his trust in, and turn solely on Christ as their Savior in faith. His morality, his good works, his money, his standing in the community, membership in lodges, religion, his membership in a particular church, his practices, his intelligence, his education, his abilities, his parents or family, any other person, the government. So many people rely on the government for all of their needs. Rituals, exercises, techniques, formulas, everything has to go. And turn to Christ alone and trust him. The unbeliever is to be saved to gain eternity. If that's to happen, he must totally turn away from, let go, stop trusting in anything and everything, and put his sole faith and trust in Christ Jesus. Anything other than that is not faith. On the one side, we have all the pride, works, and confidence of man. And the other side, we have the work of Christ, who accomplished all that was needed for salvation. One can cleave only to one or the other, but not both. One can only trust in one or the other, but not both. It's vitally important that anyone who's to be saved understand these two dynamics. The nature of true faith, one, the turning from and letting go of that which one has had confidence in and trust in, and turning to Christ in total trust and faith. And I always remember, you know, pastors talked about, you know, the idea of not being able to lean on this pulpit and that wall at the same time. And I got to thinking about this a lot and really kind of meditating on this idea. And something kind of occurred to me is, you know, let's say that everything here, this is all the stuff that the world system provides. Here I am standing on my own abilities, my own intellect, my own rationalization of how to get things done. And most people are here trying to be self-sufficient, or they're leaning all of their weight on everything that the world has to offer. And a lot of nominal Christians, people that claim to be Christians, they have their toe over here on Jesus Christ. You know, they're just kind of not even halfway. They're just kind of nodding at it. Now, if you notice, I can't lean on Christ if I'm still leaning over here. But I can reach both and, you know, maybe support my weight here. So this analogy needs another factor, and that is the world and all that it has to offer, me and all that I am. This is all in quicksand, and it's sinking. So now I can lean here, and I'm just going to keep sinking. I could throw all of my weight on there, and I'm going to keep sinking, and I'm going to end up in the lake of fire. I can stand on my own 2 feet, everything that I have to bring to the table, and I'm going to end up in the lake of fire. I can even stand on my own 2 feet and lean on the rock of Jesus, and guess what? Because I'm still relying on myself, I'm going to sink and end up in the lake of fire, because I'm not trusting fully in Jesus. The only thing that saves us is to fully commit. Not relying on myself, not relying on anything over there. I'm 100% committed, throwing all of my faith on the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. That's what we need to convey to unbelievers when we're talking to them. You know, we end up having conversations with people, other believers or people that claim to be believers, and they have all kinds of notions about, you know, getting busy in the church, or, you know, the things that they do, all of the emotions and the feelings and all of that. And none of that is efficacious faith. There's this guy that maybe some of you have seen on YouTube. His name's Ray Comfort. He's a street preacher, street evangelist. And he does some amazing conversations with people. And the whole focus is having people acknowledge that they're not good enough. He goes through the Ten Commandments and he asks them, you know, have you ever used the Lord your God or the Lord's name in vain? And almost all of them, of course, yes, they have. And he asks them, well, have you ever used your own mother's name in vain? Have you ever used your mother's name as a cuss word? Well, no, of course not. They have respect for their mom. Well, they have no respect for the Lord God. He asked them if they've ever lied. He asked them if they've ever looked at the opposite sex or even the same sex with lust in their heart. Every single one at some point has. And he goes down the list. And at the end, he says, so based on our conversation here, you've admitted that you're a lying, cheating, adulterous person at heart. Where does that send you if you die? And they have to admit that would send them to hell. So getting somebody that you're talking to understand that there is no middle ground. That is imperative. And anytime that we're witnessing to somebody, we should make that a huge focus of that. Because hell is, as Pastor has taught on several times, hell is waiting. And there's only one way out. Currently, there is so much emphasis in churches today on personal experiences, feelings, activity, good works, etc., that people's minds are diverted to all of these things instead of having clear understanding of what true faith is and the need for it in the matter of salvation, with the result that they often skip past the faith part and become just merely occupied in all of the concepts of experience, feelings, activity. I mean, the churches now, their whole focus is get them in the door, get them on the membership roster, get them tithing, of course, and then get them active doing something for their ministry. Where's faith in all of that? It's missed. And the consequences are that many of them if not the majority, aren't saved at all. And why is that? It's because they've never really trusted in Christ as their Savior. Now, God wants us, He wants to save us. He wants to bless us. But this can only be done on the basis of grace. Ephesians 4, 8, and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, lest any man should boast. Romans 14, 23. Thought I had that one written down. When I was going over it this morning, I'm like, oh yeah, I know that verse. Now it slips my mind. Does anybody have Romans 14:23 pulled up? Everything that is not of faith is sin. That's right. And if it is by grace and only grace, then God has to reject all of our works and deal with us according to the principles of faith. So the person to become a believer has to understand that it has to be by faith. Why it has to be by faith? And that's what we were talking about a minute ago. Because all of our good deeds or righteous acts are filthy rags before the righteous and pure God. And they have to have a thorough understanding of what true faith is. Romans 3, 10 through 12. It reads, as it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands. There is no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. And of course, he's talking about all of humanity but Jesus Christ. And then Isaiah 64:6. That's the all of our righteous acts are as filthy rags. So now we move on to the concept of two sides to faith. You have the active side and you have the passive side. And we need to see that faith can be looked at objectively and subjectively. When we think of faith objectively, we think of what it is we are believing, the object of our faith. So the object, what is that? That's going to be Jesus Christ, His Word. Promises, and subjectively, that's our side. That's us trusting. That's us acting in faith. We're to look at the act of believing and exercising faith as the subjective side. And that's a big portion of what this study is about. We've also seen that faith being active and passive, the active sense that we act upon our faith. Like faith pushes us in a direction of action. We act upon the things that we believe. Now, on the same token, interestingly, we also act upon the things that we don't believe. We hear something from somebody and they tell us this, and based on whether we've used the bridge analogy, somebody on the other side of a rope bridge says, oh yeah, come on over, you know, the bridge is safe. Well, if you believe that person and you need to get to the other side, then you go across the rope bridge. But if you don't believe, then you're going to find the 20-mile walk around to get to the other side. So that's the concept of active faith. But we can also be passive in our faith. This is where there's nothing that we can really do. No matter how badly we want to change the situation, we don't have the capability or power to do so. And so we have to wait. We wait upon the Lord to change the situation or to answer our prayers. Or like a person that's gone through surgery, you're waiting to heal. Now we can look at the concept of faith through the standpoint of believing, relying, and acting. This is where we believe something to be true, the promises of God, for instance. We rely upon those promises, depending on them, trusting in them, and then we act accordingly. We put, as some say, feet to our faith. In salvation, we hear the message and we believe it. We rely upon it. And the only action we can really do is believe it. So it's really more of a passive side of faith in receiving salvation. Because how much work does that broken arm, broken leg person in the burning building, how much action can they really do? I've even heard some make the analogy of somebody is in the ocean, they've sunk into the bottom, they're unconscious. The only salvation that they have is somebody saving them. And that's us in our fallen state, because we are not seeking God. We're not doing good. Not one of us. After salvation is really where the acting comes in more than anywhere. We still trust in Christ as our Savior, but now we are to move forward in God's plan for our lives. We're to obey God's word. We're to be serving Him and solving problems in faith. Now, this obedience to God, this living life, this doing God's will, this aspect of so many facets of our new life in Christ requires that we take initiative and move forward in faith. Now, this is also an aspect of faith. And to do this, we must believe God's word, have faith in, His promises, that they are true. So we believe. We rely and depend upon them and on Him. And then based on that, relying or trusting, we act upon that faith. And Christians need to understand the difference between active and passive faith and the different situations where one or the other is to be applied. Some believers sit around waiting for God to bless them when they should be actively going out and going forth and doing God's will in faith. This is an incorrect use of faith. It's a passive faith when active faith should be applied. Others, end up discouraged when there's absolutely nothing they can do, but they're sure trying. They're trying in all of their own might and power to fix the situation. Maybe they're injured or ill, or doors have been closed on them. But they keep on trying to do something about it in their own strength, when they should be resorting to passive faith, patiently waiting on God to handle the problem or situation. Regardless, whether we're talking about active faith or passive faith, it's still faith. Active faith, where we believers rely on God's word, rely on Him, and then actively go forward in the situation. Or passive faith, where there's nothing we can do, so we have to rely on God, on His word, and on His promises, and just wait. One of the common problems that believers have is where they often deceive themselves and others when they claim to be acting in faith or having passive faith, but it's not faith at all. One is out there in their own strength, grinding away, thinking that they're, you know, going to get ahead or, you know, make things different in their life, but they're not actually doing this based on promises of God, trusting in Him, and having faith in the process. That working and that activity is actually just fleshly works. Then there's the other side, where out of laziness, slothfulness, or fear, we don't do anything. But we say that we're waiting on God. We're having passive faith. That's it. Yeah, that's it. Now, active faith and passive faith are both biblical concepts, but each one has their own area of application. The trouble is that believers can use them to justify their own activity. One believer can go out in the energy and motivation of the flesh and work like crazy without the underlying motivation of faith, while the other believer can sit around in inactivity saying that he trusts the Lord. How's one to know? The thing that we need to see is that true faith motivates the believer. It motivates to activity, and it motivates a believer to keep on asking, keep on seeking, and keep on knocking. It sees its responsibility before God and seeks to fulfill it. It also motivates the believer to wait upon the Lord. But as it waits on the Lord, it still keeps on asking, seeking, and knocking. Next, we have the idea of objects of false security. In this understanding of what faith is, of what it means to live the Christian life by faith, the same ideas that are found in trusting still apply. A turning from that which one has had his trust or confidence in, and a total turning to Christ in trust and faith. And if we're to go out in faith, if we're to have an active faith, then we must turn from, let go, leave behind all of that which we had trusted in, depended upon, leaned on, had our security in, emotional or otherwise, and were to go out in total faith and trust only in the Lord. The fact is, we often hold ourselves back from going out in real faith in the Lord by our refusal to let go of whatever it was that we were hanging on to for security. Whatever person that we were hanging on to, a friend or family member, a loved one, any person that can and does hold us back from living the faith rest life. Some Christians might reply, but not my mom, not my friend. They're encouraging me to go on in the Lord. But what they don't understand in the majority of these cases is that the emotional bond and the emotional security of the relationship actually prevents them from going on in the faith and trusting solely in the Lord Jesus. They cannot let go of the other person who provides a base of security for them so that they can go on in their faith walk with the Lord. But that's exactly what they have to do to live by faith with Christ. They have to let go of whatever thing or person that they are holding on to for security, or whatever person that or whatever else they're holding on to, including financial. A lot of people, you know, they stay connected at the hip with ungodly family members because they rely on their financial support or for emotional reasons. But instead, we're to launch out in faith with Christ alone. This reminds me of Abraham. When he was called by the Lord before he went to Haran, and did he follow immediately and go along the path that God had for him to the promised land? He didn't. Whether it was emotional or financial security, he followed his father, went along with him to Haran, and he was there as long as it took for his father to die. And he didn't strike out into the plan for that God had for his life until really God took Terah, his dad, out of the picture. And he could have been further down the road. Let's review some of the things that people hold on to, their objects of security, the ground that they stand on, the rock that they lean on, however shaky that rock is, and the things that they have their confidence in, which are actually, in essence, idols. In Ezekiel 14, 3 and 4, we find out that we have idols set up in our own hearts. And an idol is not just an object of worship. It's also an object of security. And being as, you know, this secular age, a lot of us see a lot of these idols. You get your little Buddha statues outside somebody's house, or, you know, they have something that they feel gives them good luck or whatever. But ultimately, anything that provides a sense of security. Will become an idol to us. Some of the things that people hold on to, that they're trusting in, their good works, their just being good, observing certain taboos. Oh, I would never hang around with anybody that smokes. Their norms and standards, their money, their job, their standing in the community, their knowledge, even Bible knowledge. There's a lot of people within Christianity that they puff themselves up with knowledge about the Bible, but there's no application. There's no faith. The church membership is something that people rely on. Their position in the church. The pastor's talked about board members on churches that he had attended in the past that got saved years after they'd already been on the board. That's sad. I mean, it's a blessing and it's great that they got saved finally, but my goodness, that they spent years having an influence on a church ministry, and they weren't even saved. People observe certain rituals or practices, their religious activities,